Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Luke 11, 9. Proverbs 18, 10. The name of the Lord is strong power. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18, 10. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of James, chapter 4, verse 11. James, chapter 4, verse 11. You will see this verse on the back of today's bulletin. So I would encourage you to go to the back of your bulletin, and you will see all three sections of this verse, James 4, 11a, James 4, 11b, and James 4, 11c. We started this verse, as all of you know, some time ago, thinking that we would only spend one Sunday on it, and found out that there's more here than we could take care of in one Sunday. And so we're going to try to take care of it in two Sundays and six messages. And that means that we have two today and one on Wednesday night. I want to say at the outset that those of you who may be visiting with us today, the purpose of our being together is to study God's Word from the original language. On the screen, you will see the verse in English and in Greek. This comes from the Koine Greek, which is where we study verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We are interested in knowing what God's Word says, and that's the reason why we studied in this fashion. We study God's Word exegetically, categorically. We emphasize it historically. We look at a book from the historical standpoint, first of all. Then we take each verse and look at it exegetically, taking it word by word. And then when we come to various categories, we stop on those categories and spend time dealing with those specific subjects. What's happened in this passage of Scripture, we have found many, many important words. The first word is the word which means to speak down or speak not evil of anyone. The second word that we found here was the word law. And then today we find another word which is in the C part of the verse, which has to do with judging. And I'm aware of the fact that many have never considered much of what God's Word says about the subject of judging. Judging may seem to be somewhat of a harsh word. Discerning may be a little bit better. Evaluation may be another word that we could use. I'm going to be quite blunt today and use the word judge. And we're going to try to analyze the rights and wrongs of judging. What is wrong about judging? And then on Wednesday night, what is right about judging? And that's going to be a little bit shocking to some of you when you think in terms of the fact that most of us are just familiar with one verse of Scripture, and that's Matthew 7:1, where it says, judge not that you be not judged. And that's about as far as most people go with that verse. They don't go to the rest of it. Judge not that you be not judged. And they say it's improper and wrong and totally out of line to judge. And as a result of that, Satan has lied to many people, to so many people as believers, to make us think that it would be improper for us to be able to see from a vertical viewpoint, from a divine viewpoint, and analyze what's right and what's wrong. We're living in a time where we need to know from God's Word what is right and what is wrong. And we need to have the ability to see what God sees, and we cannot see what God sees unless we see through the mind of Jesus Christ. We're not going to see through the mind of Jesus Christ if we do not have ourselves saturated with the Word of God. Well, that's sermon number one, isn't it? Didn't intend to go that far with that one. But we're in James chapter 4. If you'll open your Bibles, please. We'll spend a moment in prayer before we begin the scripture reading. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege of coming here again today to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your Word. We realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And our purpose for being here right now is once again to open our minds to the teaching of your Word. We want to know what God's Word says. And so we open our hearts and open our Bibles to your Word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. And you're envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. James chapter 4, verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Verse 5 of James 4, or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. James chapter 4, now verse 7. And you'll remember that verse 7, 8, 9, and 10 has for us 10 verbs in the imperative mood. These are verbs of command. Very important to understand that. Verse 7, submit therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and He will exalt you. Now, most of you were looking down at your verse of Scripture, verses, and that's fine. But what you did not see was that while I was giving each one of those verbs, I was raising a finger. And so I gave all 10 of those that you didn't see, and that's okay, because you were looking at the Scripture. But as I gave them, submit, resist, draw near, cleanse, purify. Then I brought my hand down to start over. Number 6. Be miserable, mourn, weep, turn into mourning, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you haven't underlined those, I would encourage you to do it because it's important that we see that the Spirit of God uses James to give us some verbs in the imperative mood. That's commands. But then now we come to verse 11. Last Sunday we looked at verse 11, again today. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Now on the screen I'm going to put again the A part, the B part, and the C part. We're going to review for just a moment, in case you missed it, and let you see how powerful this passage of Scripture is. I would encourage you to notice that the first two words, speak not. I also remind you that we have here another imperative verb. The way that I have it listed for you is that the Greek word is katalaleo, K-A-T-A-L-A-L-E-O. Over a period of time, you're going to learn these Greek letters, and if you do, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay. But this verse begins by saying, stop speaking evil one another of the same kind, brothers. You'll notice how I translated that. The reason that I did it that way is because if you'll look, the very first word in this verse is may, M-E. This is what is known in the Greek as a negative adverb. Negative adverbs fall into various categories. Most of them fall into what we call strong negative adverbs, such as ooh, ook, ook. Those are three strong negative adverbs. The one that's used here, though, is one that's normally used with verbs in the subjunctive mood, which means maybe so, maybe no. It is the little word may, M-E. But you'll notice that the little word M-E, the negative adverb, is used with a verb in the imperative mood. And so when you find that, what it is saying to us is something is already going on that shouldn't be going on. And so James, by the Spirit of God, is saying to these people in that day, so many of you are foul-mouthed individuals. So many of you are slandering other individuals. So many of you are gossiping about other individuals. So many of you are judging other individuals. I want you to stop it. Did I lean over and give you that expression okay? In other words, what we have here is an expression in the original language that lets us know that it's a command, but it's used with a negative adverb that is not a strong negative adverb, which emphasizes the fact that individuals have a choice of whether they're going to be gossipers or maligners or judgers. We have a desire on a day-by-day basis to either fulfill God's plan of not fitting into that category or fitting into that category. Speak not evil. The next line, if you'll notice, says one of another. The Greek word is alla, A-L-L-A, which means one another of the same kind, which means that believers are not to be judging, maligning, speaking evil of anyone, but especially they're not supposed to be speaking evil or maligning or gossiping or slandering or judging other believers. Boy, did I do a good job on that part of the verse. Now, thank you. I appreciate that. Now, let's look at the next part of the verse, the B part. Oh, it comes back again. The one speaking against a brother or judging a brother speaks against the law and judges the law. You know what I've discovered? I've discovered that the longer I study and the older I get, I realize that there are times when I make mistakes. Now, you know, I don't do that very often. You realize that, don't you? Just joking, in case you think I'm serious about it. Just joking. I studied this verse. I printed this verse out. I sent it out to the amanuensis, the secretary. She put it out. We had it out here last Sunday. I got back on it again and discovered that I had made a mistake. That lets me know that if I can make mistakes, you probably can too. Now, what is the mistake I've made? Some of you are real anxious to see it. Well, I'm looking for it. And I found it. I put the word judge because I was so interested in that word. But it's supposed to be the word speak. In case you Greek individuals found it, you didn't say anything to me about it. We've gone through a Sunday and you wouldn't say anything. But I want you to see that I looked and I was interested in emphasizing today's message on judging. And I put the word judge when it wasn't supposed to be there at all. So anyway, when I find that I made a mistake, I correct it. If I don't find it, then I don't correct it. the one speaking against a brother, now judging his brother, speaks against the law. The second major word that we studied last Sunday, after the word speak not evil, or the word speak not evil means to speak down, to talk down on individuals. That's the meaning of that first word. The second word that we studied was the word law. And it is N-O-M-O-N, N-O-M-O-U, N-O-M-O-S. Now, some of you don't care about this at all, but I do, and I want you to know that the ends of the word in the Greek language tell me how that word is used in the sentence. If it has an O-S, Omicron Sigma, at the end, it's used as a subject of the sentence. If it has an O-U, it shows it's a genitive, it shows possession. If it has an O-N, it says that it is the direct object of the sentence. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is because it's very important for us to see, when we study God's Word, if the word in the sentence is the subject, if it shows possession, or if it's a direct object of the sentence. Now, some of you couldn't care less about that, and that's okay. But I want you to know that right here you have N-O-M-O-U, which shows possession. Down here you have the word law, M-O-N, N-O-M-O-N, which is a direct object of the sentence. So what I'm trying to let you see, that we studied one word, katalaleo, which is speak down. The second word we studied was nomos, law. And now, if you'll notice that the last word in the verse, and we're going to go to the C part in just a few moments, is the word krino, K-R-I-N-O, which is the word for judge. So, I'm going to take you now to the C part of the verse. It's on the back of your bulletin, in case you're looking at it there. It says, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, I need to tell you something else. That is, when you have nouns and adjectives and participles, you decline, which you take it through the various forms. When you have a verb, most of you are aware, you conjugate a verb, which means I see, you see, we see, you see, they see, right on down the line. It is very interesting, and I'm going to tell you so that you can remember this. If you were conjugating the word krino right here, it is K-R-I-N, and there's an O, which means I judge. It is O-I-S-A, omen ete usi. I'm not speaking in tongues. I'm giving you the conjugation of a verb. The reason I'm doing this is because I want you to see that sometimes it says, I see, I judge, you judge, singular, he, she, or it judges, singular, we, plural, judge, you all judge, or they judge. Now, does that make sense? I want you to see why I'm giving you this. We have in this verse of Scripture A part, B part, C part, an emphasis upon the fact that the Spirit of God is saying through James, you folks are maligning and gossiping and criticizing and you're slandering individuals. You need to stop it, and you need to stop it now. That's the first part of the verse. The second part of the verse is you have to understand something. You have to understand something about the law. Now, we're not talking about the Mosaic Law here specifically. We're talking about the law of love. We're talking about the royal law. We're talking about how believers are to act toward other believers and what the attitude of a believer should be toward an unbeliever. We should be careful what we do and say and think around unbelievers. We should be careful what we say and do and think around other believers, because we're going to either influence them correctly or we're going to influence them incorrectly or improperly. We have a responsibility as believers. Now, I don't want to make you too uncomfortable today, but I want you to see that the Spirit of God does at times make us rather uncomfortable. And it's not going to hurt for you to be uncomfortable. Just for a little bit until you go to the break and maybe you can get comfortable. And then you can come back in here and get uncomfortable again. Because we're dealing with this in both sessions today. I want you to see something, and we're getting into it in a little bit more detail than sometimes we may think we should. What I want you to see is the word krino. K-R-I-N-O. That's the word. It's the word which means to judge. But I'm going to ask you a question today. I'm going to ask you the question, is judging a harsh word? Does evaluate sound less damaging? Does the word discerning sound less offensive? I'm trying to get you to think with me. Am I harsh? Is the Bible harsh? Is the Bible rude when the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged? The word krino is a word that you ought to go home with today in your thinking. Krino. K-R-I-N-O. I judge. The words which are translated, both judging and discerning, come from this same Greek word. Krino. To judge. To have an opinion. To examine. To choose. To separate. To discriminate. What I've discovered is, and you'll follow me now carefully, if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians in your Bible, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I would encourage you to go to that passage because we're going to see something unique. I just said to you that the word is interpreted to judge, to examine, to separate, to discriminate. The word is interpreted as discerning. And in this passage of Scripture, we have an interesting, unique expression. We have the word krino, K-R-I-N-O. But on the word krino, you have what is known as a prefix, the beginning of the word. And the beginning of the word that's used in this passage of Scripture is A-N-A-K-R-I-N-O, ana. Krino. Sometimes you have the word krino. In front of it you have D-I-A. Dia. Krino. Now, let me ask a question. What does that mean? For you who are thinking with me, have to understand that in the Greek language you have various prepositions. And the word dia, D-I-A, means to cut through, to see through. And so when you put D-I-A at the beginning of K-R-I-N-O, it means to see through or go through. If you put A-N-A at the beginning of the word, it means by. For example, now we're reading this scripture in 1 Corinthians. You have it. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That means an unsaved person. Now let me ask you. Here's what I've noticed. Most of the time, this congregation is very attentive, very quiet. You don't get up and you don't run around, you don't talk. You're very, very, very disciplined individuals. Occasionally, we have someone who kind of moves around and gets out of sort. Normally, I'm so sweet and kind that I don't say anything when I probably should. But anyway, it disturbs the rest of you, and you're saying, preacher, you ought to be saying something. Those folks are moving around, they're talking, they shouldn't be. And so you start judging me for not judging them. We're dealing with the subject of judging. Now, you folks are listening. Don't look so solemn, folks. I want you to think about what I'm saying. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The unsaved person doesn't understand because it says here they're foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And that word discerned there is this Greek word anakrino, judged. But then it goes on to say, but he who is spiritual That means a person who is in harmony with the Lord and saturated with the Word of God. The one who is spiritual judges all things. And there again, that word is anakrino, which means that a person who's saturated with truth, in harmony with the Lord, has the ability to discern, to understand, comprehend. And then it says, yet he himself is rightly judged anakrino by no one. Whether we like it or not, discerning and judging seem to be synonymous in the Bible. And it has a lot to say about judging, both in a positive and a negative way. We usually make our judgments based upon what we think, what we see, what we perceive. But what we often don't realize is that what we're hearing and seeing may simply be based upon what we know, which may not be all the facts, which is the fruit of our own natural minds and reasoning power. It may simply be the fruit of our own self-righteousness, believing self is always right when self is not necessarily always right. From this word, krino, K-R-I-N-O, which means judge, examine, comes two words. I would encourage you to write this because it's so unique. From this word, krino, comes the word K-R-I-T-E-S, krites. And from the English, that word means critical. So put down krites, K-R-I-T-E-S, and then put critical. But also from this word comes K-R-I-S-I-S, which means crisis. So we have two major words coming from this word, critical and the word crisis. So our discernment may not only be our fleshly judgments, but may simply be criticisms which may result in a crisis in our lives. When I thought about this, I thought, I need to say to my dear beloved friends, one of Satan's prince purposes is to bring division and separation, crisis, not only between God and man, but also between God's children. The individuals who are in Christ Jesus and other individuals. In other words, it's possible for us as believers to get caught into a attitude of analyzing one another and reasoning our position and what we think to be true from our viewpoint to the point that we make bad decisions. Okay. So far you've just listened. It's time for you to start writing. Number one, what does the word judge mean? Now, I don't watch these shows, but I understand that on television there are all kinds of judging shows. One that I've heard about was Judge Judy. Now, some of you are smiling, so I guess you've been there. And then there are other shows, I think. Judging. The word judging is a word that we use quite often. Number one, definition, to form an opinion. Number two, to hear and decide. In other words, to judge means to hear and to decide. To select, to choose, to pick out. Number three, the word judge means to determine or declare after consideration. To determine or declare after consideration. In athletics, there are individuals who have the responsibility of seeing things and making decisions. Basketball, football, whatever it is. To determine or declare after consideration. Number four. To make estimate as to worth or quality or fitness. Judge to make estimates as to worth or quality or fitness. Number five, to decide the winners of a contest. The word judge, I find it in the Bible. To rule as the ancient Israelite leaders did during a period of 400 years between the death of Joshua and the accession of Saul. Ancient Israel leaders, 400 years of judging. Number seven, the word judge means to deliberate, to evaluate. Number eight, the word means to hear and decide in a court of law. Have you ever been to a court where there's a judge to hear and decide in a court of law? Judge a case. Number nine, the word judge is used many, many times in God's Word. Over 700 times, I'm told. Judge, judging, judgment, judges. One whole book of the Bible is titled Judges, written in a time when God raised up judges to lead His people. So the word is used over and over and over again. Number 10. Should we deal with the word judge? Is judging right or wrong? Let me take the next moments to tell you that in Matthew 7, it says, "Do not judge, or you will be judged." The subject of judging in that passage of Scripture seems very difficult for us to understand. Some use the term judge in a generalized way, which simply says, "Oh, we shouldn't be judging. It's wrong to judge. Don't be judging." We look at it from another direction, oftentimes very extreme directions. If we took this to an extreme, we would say that there's no evaluation, nothing that we should analyze to look upon in society or in relationship to what does God's Word say? What does God's Word tell us? Such a totally non-judgmental atmosphere would generate such tolerance that it would be hazardous, I believe, to life and to limb. Nothing would be called into question. Nothing would be considered wrong. That wouldn't be right either. So I jotted myself a note. Think about it. God never intended any such thing when Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." If we take that to an extreme, a person's example, whether good or bad, would have no power to influence behavior in others. Before determining whether we want to imitate or reject how another person acts, we must evaluate, we must judge that person's conduct. So people look at Matthew 7:1 as proof that we should not judge. "Judge not that you be not judged." Here the Greek word judge, listen to it, is krino. You've heard that before, haven't you? Meaning to condemn, to avenge, to damn, to sentence, to levy a punishment. The Lord Jesus Christ plainly says that if we condemn others, we will be condemning ourselves. It's dangerous territory. Now please don't tune me out. Christ's initial statement about judgment cannot be ripped out of the context and let it be dropped at that point. When we take a verse of Scripture, we must understand it from its total context. We must understand what is being said here. We must understand that passage and consider it in its whole explanation, which includes recognition here of others' sins and their disposition. Otherwise, Matthew 7:1 directly contradicts other verses of Scripture. Like John 7:24. So I'm going to ask you right now to write John 7:24 down. Because in that John 7:24, the same Greek word is used. And it says, and I'm reading, Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Oh, wait a minute. Now, up to this point, we've found out it was saying, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. Now, it says, judge. We're commanded on the one hand not to judge, on the other hand, we're commanded to judge. Here it says in John 7:24, to judge. But he mitigates it with instruction on how to judge. Certainly we're to analyze what is right and what is wrong based on the mind of God as expressed in the Bible. How we apply that judgment to others is critical, for Christ will take the same attitude with us that we take toward others. Like it or not, I jotted myself a note. Life forces us to make discernments. Life forces us to make judgments. Life forces us to make decisions about people every day. These may deal with mundane physical things, or with friendships or marriages which affect a lifetime. Many have gone through life wishing that they had been equipped early in life to render and exercise sounder judgments, for the process of making good calls can be very confusing. It's so easy to dwell on the wrong factors or see only what is on the surface. We have to look at things from God's vantage point. If I look carefully at the messages that are listed for today, the first emphasis is judging right or wrong. When I look at this scripture, it says, if you judge the law, God's law, the royal law, what God says in His Word, if it is true, first class conditional clause, if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. What you and I must realize is that we have a responsibility to God. First of all, to judge self. We'll emphasize this more in detail in the next session, but I want you to see that we're not going to be in a position to evaluate, discern. Did you notice I emphasized evaluate or discern? I'm trying to use words that are less harsh than the word judge, but I want you to see that the word krino is the word that's used throughout the New Testament. And it says you and I as believers have a strong responsibility to be properly related to the Lord and be able to first of all look within ourselves and have things right, and then begin to see life from God's vantage point. Ever so often we observe the Lord's table. And when we observe the Lord's table, one of the things that we remind us of, we're not to take the Lord's Supper out of fellowship, out of harmony. It's very important in that passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that we look within deeply. That we see ourselves as best we can as God sees us. Did you notice I said as best we can as God sees us? And that simply means that when we come to the observance of the Lord's table, we have to participate in the observance of the Lord's table, taking those elements, but we do it in quietness and we do it with our hearts in tune. Because we want to be sure that we're not taking the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, out of harmony, out of fellowship. And in that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, whatever you do, when you come to the Lord's table, you look deep within. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't look at someone else. You look deep within and judge, evaluate, discern yourself. The Scripture reveals to us that we judge wrongly when we do not see from God's vantage point. Would you let me do this again. Do you see the A part of the verse? Speak not evil one of another, brothers. What does the second part of the verse tell us? You can look on the back of your bulletin and there you'll see what it says. The one speaking against a brother or judging a brother speaks against the law and judges the law. And then the C part of the verse, if, and it is true, you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. Wow. Right or wrong? When we come back at the next session, we're going to deal with when judging is actually wrong. And Wednesday night, when judging is actually right. May we bow for a moment of prayer. What we're doing today is studying God's Word. We're checking out the various words and letting God's Spirit speak to us through His wonderful truth. What we must realize today is that we have before us God's message. It's a message to believers, but it's also a message to unbelievers. The Scripture tells us that the unbeliever needs to believe. There's only one way of salvation, and that is to accept the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, He came to for the purpose of dying on the cross, being buried and coming forth out of the grave. Resurrection, because He's sitting now at the right hand of the Father, He's able to save anyone who will believe. He's been able to do that all through the ages of time. When a person believes, they have salvation. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. And to those of you who hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you to do it now. Thank you, Father, for this day and every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.